What's up, everybody? How you doing? You're tuned in to another episode of Living Life Intently. I'm your host, Lee Frazier. And before we kick this off, I'm going to apologize for the audio in this recording. This kind of was the nail in the coffin for whether or not I chose to kind of suspend these podcasts for the next month or so until I get some better equipment or we're able to do these in person. Finally, after like 2 months, hopefully we'll be able to do these in person moving forward. So the audio in here kind of switches up after halfway through. I had basically gear crap out on me, and I had to kind of figure something out to hopefully salvage this conversation. Anyways, it's about 45 minutes long. It's a little short one, but there's some content in there. Before we get into introducing our guest, I just want to tell you about a few things. Number one, we're starting to ramp up stuff for the summer at Live Life Intense here. We're hoping to open July 1st. Pending regulations in Nova Scotia. We've teamed up with Cape Breton West Paddleboards and A Great Day Fishing to offer their services on our website so you can book accommodations. And once you pick the dates, a menu will pop up and you can pair it with our river Our river tubing, fishing with Jimmy, A Great Day Fishing, going kayaking, paddleboarding with Jeremy, our hikes, everything. It's all discounted. So if you stay on site, whether it be camping or glamping, you can package it with activities and save money in doing so and basically build your own experience packages, which has been our goal from day one to finally be able to do. Now, we also just released a documentary. So if you haven't been paying attention to any of our social channels or listening to this podcast over the last, I think, since I started it talking about this documentary, we filmed the documentary last summer following a bunch of tour operators around during the summer talking about why they moved to Cape Breton, why they started the business, how they're working together to help grow each other's businesses and some of the challenges they face as small operators here on Cape Breton Island. Now, if you're interested in checking out the trailer or streaming or buying the actual film, you can head to cabotrail documentary.com or just go to livelifeintense.com, and there's a bunch of links there that will redirect you to our Vimeo page. If you choose to buy it, please email us the copy of the payment or the proof of purchase, and we will send you a coupon booklet for pretty much, I think it's like $200 worth of savings if you were redeem them all. So everything from discounts on fly fishing to discounts on tubing to discounts on an hour at Jay's Archery Range, discounts on accommodations, all kinds of stuff. So again, that's cabotraildocumentary.com. Now, this week's podcast is with Brittany McLeod, and we've been trying to coordinate this interview for like 3 weeks back and forth and schedules and all that sort of stuff. So I was kind of excited to chat with her. Then I got hit with all the audio issues. So halfway through, like I said, there's a little bit, you can notice the audio will switch up. I've done my best to EQ all the shit out, but that's the way she goes sometimes. There is a lot of good content in there. Brittany had recently, this is why I wanted to talk with her. She had recently made a big decision and switched from doing wedding photography, which she's done for, I believe, if I remember correctly, 10 years or so. And she was very in demand. I knew a lot of people that were trying to get in with her, and she was always booked up. But she made a switch into a new career path. And we kind of sat down and chatted about why she did it, some fears that she faced and how she came to that decision. But I'm not going to ruin it. I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to spoil it. I'll just let you guys listen. Again, apologies for the shitty audio, but this is Brittany McLeod on Living Life Intently, and we'll definitely be doing a follow-up one when we can do it in person and kind of feed off one another and have fun and not have to worry about very shitty Wi-Fi, internet, cell service dropping out, gear failing, all of the above. But we persevered. We got it done. And this is, again, the last episode for the next little while. So hope you guys enjoy. If you like this podcast, I know the audio has been shit, but slap a 5-star rating up on Apple and rate it wherever else you guys get podcasts. It really helps us out. Maybe even put a comment there. I don't know. Or send us an email if you know ways we can improve and have some comments about it. I'm always open to improving these sort of things. Anyways, this is Brittany McLeod, Living Life Intently. I'm out. Okay, well, first off, yeah, thanks for jumping on this with me. I'll just give you, sometimes we end up going over an hour, but I've got a if we end up doing that and I rush you off, I've got a in tourism industry thing at like 1:30. So that's why. So I got to get kitted up for that. But other than that, okay. I'm trying to do better and introducing people on these things. So I'm going to leave it up to you to do like a brief introduction to yourself, because normally like the way, and I always start each podcast, I got to stop doing it because people listening are probably getting fed up with me saying this every time. I usually just get things going and then never introduce the people. And then at the end, they're like, you know, should I introduce myself at some point? I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah. So before we jump into this,
I actually listened to your last podcast.
Oh, with Reese.
And I didn't feel annoyed. Yeah. I didn't finish it, but I listened to it and I laughed at that, but I was like, it's not annoying.
Yeah.
You're doing great.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, that one was using this like that third party browser app that I was just mentioning. And what happened was, because it was not what I was used to using, I forgot to press record on my end to record my audio. And it became like, that's why it sounds like I'm talking through a phone and he's like clear, because it's almost like it's his podcast and not mine. But it's all about more about like what's the content that's in it than
totally
the quality sometimes. Like I have one that's, I think it's the second one that I did, and there's like this high pitched squealing that goes on the entire time, because it was a little like shitty old mic that my friend dropped off from like the 70s. So it just was recording all these artifacts, and but anyways, the value and the content that was within the podcast, it was a short one. It was really cool. It was because I was an old author, and he was talking about his journey in life and like his story creating like paintball. He was like a guy that created paintball back in the 80s and stuff like that. So,
that's cool.
So it was pretty fun, and it was more like I was really interested. But before I start rambling on, why don't you give everybody an overview of who you are and where you're coming in from?
Well, my name is Brittany McLeod. I am from Cape Breton. I was born here, raised here. I have been a wedding photographer for the last 10 years, but basically like feels like as long as I can remember. I've been taking photos since I was 14. But actually recently decided to close my business this year for lots of different reasons. So now I'm just kind of on this new path of like figuring out what I'm doing with my life. but no, it's been good. I have two small kids. They are six, almost six, and three. My husband and I have been married for 10 years this year. And yeah, life is good.
There you go.
That's me.
So yeah.
In a nutshell.
Yeah. So that was one of my first questions for you was like, how did you end up getting started in photography? Because a lot of people that I know that are in that world, it kind of like came out of curiosity, and not until like later, not when they were in high school or not early in life, the majority of them, it was kind of like a lot of them by fluke.
Yeah.
They just kind of found it and then got really interested in it. And it like I piqued their attention and they just got really interested in figuring it out. So that was kind of one of my biggest things, was to ask you how you got into, wow, I drank too much coffee.
Not enough food. So I got my very first camera when I was 14, and it was kind of just for fun.
Yeah.
And my mom actually ended up picking it up as well. And so my mom is a photographer as well, and she is kind of the one that paved the way. She started teaching herself how to use it properly. And then after a few years, she started, you know, people started asking her to do jobs. And then before I was even finished high school, I was second shooting with her. And then my husband and I moved to London, Ontario for 2 years.
Yeah.
Right after we first got married. And so I was kind of on my own and had decided, well, I don't really know anything else. I was kind of one of those kids in high school that was like, I have no desire to go to university, college of any kind.
You and me both.
I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I just knew I loved photography. Actually, that's a lie. I did go to NSC at SEC for a semester and then I dropped out, moved away, tried to start my own business. We only lived there for 2 years. And then when I came back, my mom and I kind of teamed up and yeah, it's just been, that's pretty much it. I feel like that's all I've known is photography and it just, yeah, it wasn't like I had this career. I feel like a lot of people that I know too, they have different careers and then yeah. They kind of get bored of them and then photography falls into their lap. So
yeah. Crazy. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of, and there's a lot of people right now too, just, and especially in Cape Breton Island that have been, most recently trying to get into, like, I had a conversation with Chuck Raffal, who is, I actually recorded him last week, interviewing him last week so that it comes out tomorrow, I think. And I've had a lot of conversations with him about his, rise, but this was the year he was trying to make a transition because he's a carpenter by trade. So he's trying to make a transition. There's also a lot of other people that are local, not doing the wedding photography game, but are doing more like, content creation and like travel photography and all that sort of stuff. And a lot of people just like yourself had made the decision to like make career changes this year. Like
yeah.
pretty much around the same time that I saw that you did on like social media. And then, and then all this stuff happened. So, how has that been that the switch, the change you made it like recently, like February or something, right?
It was February. Yeah. I went to, business retreat. I actually went there with the intention of like possibly growing my photography business. I had hired an associate this past year who was supposed to be shooting with me and shooting her own weddings this year.
But
I kind of went there being like, I just want to know what I should do because I have so many different things. I knew that like I've always, well, the last couple of years I've kind of felt like, you know, this isn't something that I'm going to be able to do forever just with having small kids and like summers, you're just kind of, you're working 24/7. You don't get any Saturdays off, which I've really never minded because I genuinely love what I do.
Yeah.
But after having kids, it's just kind of, I don't know, opened your eyes a little bit. And like, I've just felt like I really just want to be able to go camping on the weekend. so anyway, sorry, I'm babbling.
Hey, that's what this is all about, this whole thing.
I go down rabbit holes, so you might need to rein me in.
Oh man, that's you're the pot calling the kettle black on that one.
anyway, sorry. The question that you asked was about
making the shift.
Transition.
Yeah.
So I went to this retreat. Basically, long story short, I went there thinking I was going to expand my photography business.
Yeah.
And then before I, like the first day that I was there, it just became like super clear that I was not really doing what I was supposed to be doing. Just kind of like my purpose was not really aligned with photography. So before I left, I was like, I need to do this. I need to do this now before I go home so I don't change my mind. Because I feel like when you do something for so long, like it really does kind of become, it can become your identity. And I never actually really want that for myself. Like I don't want what I do to be tied up to my identity. Like I don't believe that what we do is who we are. It is a part of it. But so anyway, I made this announcement and then all of this stuff happened. And I'm actually like, it's crazy. And at first I was like, what did I do? Why did I just do that? You know, like lots of us have lost income. I'm losing my income this year. But if I was still doing photography, I could continue making more money for next year. And now so I had that moment of like, what did I just do? But then I thought about it and I was like, you know what? This is like an opportunity. I have an opportunity to do the things that I've been scared to do, the things that I wanted to do, but didn't know how to do, you know, despite everything that's happening right now. So I'm actually super grateful that I did it, even though it's kind of like a bit of a gong show right now. And I feel a little bit all over the place. When you messaged me, you're like, I want to talk to you about your transition from photography into social media. I'm like, actually, I'm not even really doing social media managing right now, but we can chat about that.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean? It's all about the transition, because that's kind of what, like, so So when we started, I started this podcast, it was more about having content going on a different platform, a different medium for us. It would also give me the ability to have conversations with people and learn things from other people. And then I got put on the back burner. This past winter, I decided to launch it. And there's been a lot of really good podcasts, but like the biggest thing was trying to get something of value so that people listen to this would be able to take something away from it, which is kind of what I was using podcasts for. And I kind of lost that thought until someone brought it up to me, like really want a takeaway. Not to say that there wasn't any in a lot of them, but some I was just putting out for content just to have things go out. And that's right. Why when I messaged you, I was kind of thinking about that. And then I think I was just on Instagram one day and then I was going through stories and I flipped on yours and I'm like, oh yeah, she made that transition. It's funny how social media works because we've never met in person, but yet I'm like, know what's going on with your life and stuff. So I thought that transition, plus you have a big audience too, that would probably like to hear more in depth about what that transition would be. So it would be a kind of a good way to add some value in for the people that listen on my end and also add some value in for people that you'd. So I'm kind of, that's how my approach is for these from now on. It's kind of like trying to add bits and tidbits of like not only inspiration, but like learning lessons that people may have learned along the way. So like making the transition. One of my things was I was just waiting to hear what I thought maybe that you had some like big plan of making it at some point, but I mean, that's pretty much more down the lines of like how I make things, just like it and something inspires you and you're like, there's an aha moment. And then you just kind of act on it. So, obviously like along with that comes a lot of fears, but fears of failure. But how do you manage that thought? Do you let the fear control you, or do you just kind of like realize that there's something and have trust and faith in that there's something coming down the road? I guess, is that the question? There's no real direct question there. I'm trying to figure out what I'm trying to think about how I should approach that. But like, how do you deal with the managed fear? Like, do you let, when you make a decision like that, does fear overwhelm your mind? Because I think a lot of people do let fear control them in making those decisions. They want to, but they're fearful of what might happen. But how do you approach that? How do you manage that? I guess is kind of where I'm going.
Well, I'd be lying if I said we all deal with fear. And there have been lots of times where I have allowed it to control me.
Yep.
I even think the last year in my photography business, I've been in a little bit of denial. It's been a little bit confusing because I do actually love what I do, but it doesn't really check off all of the boxes that I needed to check off to, you know, feel super fulfilled and live the life that I want to live. So, for the last year, I've probably let it control me a little bit more, but something that I've been learning something that I've been learning over the last year is just like the power of putting yourself in uncomfortable situations. Even this retreat that I went to, I had to apply to go to it. I think there was like 700 applicants and like 17 of us got picked to go.
Crazy.
And so it was put on by an influencer who I've followed for a while and kind of really looked up to. And
yep.
I applied and was like, oh, I'm probably not going to get accepted to this. But then I did. And then I was like, I had that moment again of like, what did I just do? Like, this is going to be so uncomfortable, like sitting in a circle with people and like having to, like, it was very intense and very deep, but it really like stretched me. And so even though it's terrifying sometimes, I think I've just been learning to like say yes to it anyway, because I have tasted and seen what's on the other side of that.
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, there's a lot more factors coming into play so it's kind of a similar answer I give people, but then, you know, they'd be like friends of mine with same deal and position where you're at with two young kids or three young kids or four young kids. And they're like, well, you don't have all these other people because, you know, I made a big transition from working offshore to doing what we're doing now. And people are like, did you have a plan? Did you have anything? And, you know, any plan? Do you have anything? I was like, no, man, I just wanted to do it. And it kind of felt like the right time. So I just said, you know, screw it, I'm going to do it. And then, you know, their usual response is, well, you know, you don't have, you know, 2 mouths to feed or 3 mouths to feed or like a mortgage or all this sort of stuff. So, but yeah, it's all in.
I think we all have something.
What's that?
I said we all have something.
Exactly. But it's all in trusting, yeah, you know, a vision. If you have a vision and want to do it, it's better to actually try and fail than not try. And I mean, that's such a cliche when you hear it and everybody says it, but
it is
pretty true. The amount of times that in my experience that I've failed trying to do things is like countless. There's so many things that I've failed at doing and like failed horribly at doing. But then again, it's just, you just keep going back at it and trying it and trying it and trying it and getting back up and keep trying it. And then eventually you'll learn enough and you'll start to gain momentum. But yeah, that's kind of the biggest things. But so what, if you're not jumping into the world of social media management, what's the plans now?
I mean, I guess I am doing stuff with social media. This was just kind of an idea that came up at this retreat that I was at, and I had put it in my Instagram profile. Yep. I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to do this. I, you know, just started getting the ball rolling a little bit, and then everyone lost their jobs. And so people couldn't pay me to manage their social media. But that being said, at first I was like a little bit discouraged. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so embarrassing. I put this in my profile. Now I'm not even doing it. I'm getting asked to be on a podcast to talk about it. But that being said, it definitely opened some other doors for me. So I had a lot of people not necessarily want me to manage their social media, but they've wanted me to help them with it. And so that kind of brought up this other need that was, not that I don't think there's people who need, you know, social media management. It's just the people that were following me were not looking for that. And I've had like maybe hundreds-ish of people like messaging me and asking for advice or guidance or, hey, I don't need you to manage my social media, but I have no idea what I'm doing. Yeah. Can you help me?
More like coaching.
Yeah. So that was kind of cool. I just did my first like free challenge on Instagram. Basically just like a 7-day teaching people how to write better captions. So I kind of just picked one topic, made it really simple. That was really successful. I'm going to keep it going, so anyone can join at any time. And then the other thing that I'm working on right now is actually creating a course. So I'm only like halfway through at the moment, but that is something that I'm going to plan on doing in the future, is just kind of creating online courses, coaching people. I'm doing like one-on-one sessions right now. So that's kind of where I'm at with social media. And then there's like this other side of it as well, which has nothing to do with social media, I guess. But my husband and I actually bought a church.
Yeah.
We didn't really buy it. We got it for $1 a year ago. This Catholic church that's 2 doors down from our house right now. And we are planning on renovating it and kind of starting a design business. So 2 completely different things, but that's kind of where I'm at right now, just trying to get these things off the ground and like basically starting over, like starting from scratch. And I know people always say just pick one thing and like focus on one thing, but that is like such a hard task for me. So I'm doing 2 things, but it's great. It's really good. I live in Edwardsville, which is pretty small little street outside of Sydney. But the community, everyone that lives here, a lot of them have lived here their whole lives. There's lots of older people. It's just everybody knows everyone. Everyone knows. Everyone grew up going to this church. So yeah, we just kind of had this vision to like breathe life back into the church. And that being said, you need money to do that. And so you don't really make money doing renovations right off the hop. So it's kind of like our passion project that, you know, we hope to be able to do more and someday they'll make money. But that's kind of why, you know, we're doing 2 things. I mean, both things I'm super passionate about. The whole church thing, like when I went to this retreat, it was really weird. Every time like people would ask me questions about where I was from, I would just like start crying because like I didn't realize how fired up about Cape Breton I was and how much I loved it and how much I wanted to see growth happen here. And I know that there's been a lot of growth over the last few years, you know, with Cape Breton as a whole, but like specifically Sydney, you know, our downtown is not super bumping. There are things happening, but it's getting there. I just like, I didn't realize how badly I actually wanted to be a part of that and how much I wanted to be some sort of change. So it kind of landed on this whole, like, I want to own buildings. I want to renovate buildings. I want to create unique experiences, kind of like what you're doing. And so, yeah, it started with the church. We actually almost bought a hotel this year, which I was extremely pumped that never worked out, because we would own a hotel right now and not have been able to have anyone in it or pay for it, and we would have been in the middle of renovation. So that, you know, things work out the way they need to. But my husband and I actually were like, okay, if we can't, you know, make money on our own projects right now, maybe we can do projects for other people. And so we actually just landed our first job this past week. And so we're doing a commercial property right now. It's pretty big. And we are hoping to kind of get that off the ground more, create a website around it, and start like pitching our services to people. So we'll do residential and commercial properties.
So like full like rent, like home renos with design and everything.
Yeah. So me kind of more the like decorator and him like the doing the 3D designs for people and kind of overseeing their projects. So, I mean, it could be like a new build or it could be a renovation, commercial property, but yeah.
But it's all in doing something in the like creative realm. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's the biggest thing. I have a conversation with people quite often about, just about like the creating things. Cause I think like, it's like, for me, I just like that whole process of creating something and bringing it to life. And then, you know, afterwards, once it's like to life, once it's rolling, I kind of like move on to something else, but it's that like process that's fun. Yeah. So I don't know if you feel the same way about that, but that's like the fun, taking something from like a thought and then bringing it to life.
Totally. And I hadn't really experienced too much of that until we did our very first renovation. I mean, I've always been into like home design, interior decorating, kind of more as a hobby. But when we did our house, it was, well, first of all, it took forever. And so there's like, obviously, you know, quite a sense of pride when you're all finished the hard work that you did in 2 years. But it was really cool. We actually decided to Airbnb our place last summer. And I think that was the moment where we were like, okay, we need to do this for a living. Like, I don't know how we're going to do it, but we just got so fired up. I was like, coming to my house the mornings, I didn't do this all the time because we did hire a cleaner, because I was like, I am not cleaning a house during wedding season. But there were a few times where like we didn't have a cleaner and I was coming to my house and I'm like on my hands and knees scrubbing a toilet. And I'm like, I got to be in Marguerite in an hour for a wedding or like wherever. Yeah. I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
But it was, I didn't care because I was just like so fired up about the whole process of it and just like seeing that people actually wanted to stay here. And then after the season was done, it was like, this is crazy. Like the occupancy rates here are like insanely high. We had an awesome season and we weren't going to do it again this year because I was like, nope, I just need a break. Want to stay in my house. We also lived in a trailer last summer when we did it, so that was a bit bananas with two kids. In a trailer. Then we ended up like moving in with my parents, so it was a bit of we're a little all over the place. So I'm like, I don't think I want to do that again this year. But we actually just decided to do it anyway, even though I'm like, I don't know what this season looks like, just like you. like what's going to happen. Yeah. But I think, I mean, I've just been observing my own thoughts, which is when things loosen up a little bit, like we're definitely going to be doing some staycations. You know, you can stay at an Airbnb somewhere and go hiking and likely still follow all of the rules, right? So, and then just getting feedback from people as well. And lots of people are like, I'm going somewhere this summer. I don't know where or when, but I...
Yeah, I think that's not to cut you up, but I think that's like, I mean, that's kind of what I was hedging my bets on when this started kind of kicking off. And you see like, you see a lot of, I guess provincial tourism boards are going to be start pumping local tourism. So that was a kind of a big thing for me. When we first started, that's where I saw the gap in the market. And that's kind of where we went into was like this, like home, let's market to people from Cape Breton. Let's see, price it for people to Cape Breton. Let's do that. So now you're seeing all those tourism boards and even the information I'm getting from people I know that work for HRM, work for government in Halifax. They're saying there's a big campaign on this summer for pumping staycation, like all like really pumping within Halifax firstly, and then it's the rest of the province. But that's going to be a big thing this year, and it's going to force a lot more people to travel. So that's kind of why we like this recent film that we released. That's why we released it in this time, was to kind of influence people to get it in their minds that once things kind of like loosen, then, you know, all this stuff is here and here's an incentive to come down to Cape Breton and here's an incentive to do the Cabot Trail. And if parks are not closed, or if parks are closed, like the national park is closed, man, that's going to be like huge for people.
Yeah.
Within the local market. So
yeah,
man, I think you're hedging your bet on the fact that people are going to want to like travel within the rural province is a good bet, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I'm also pretty optimistic in most situations. So I'm always like, let's just try. All you can do is try.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, man. So where are we at? Yeah, that's the skinny on the whole summer. So that's kind of what I'm really hoping for. So, and that's what I talk to most people. So, but yeah, when you were doing like wedding photography, how many weddings did you actually do a year?
Anywhere from like 20 to 25. 25 is like max. Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
All jammed into 3 months, pretty much.
I know. Did you, and when you were doing it, did you just have like, was it just yourself or did you have somebody there alongside doing like?
I had someone that can shoot with me.
Oh, really? Yeah. And how long it would take to actually do a general wedding shoot from like start to finish, from being there till like the finished product?
About 35 to 40 hours total for one wedding ish.
Jesus.
I mean, maybe faster, like not me personally, like I had outsourced a lot of my stuff. So that wasn't my own 40 hours, but you learn really quickly that things take time.
Yeah.
And so, wow. That's
it's probably a lot of work too. And it's probably a lot of work dealing with like the clients that you're dealing with, because it's not just like hiring for a generic shoot that's just a wedding shoot or just a normal shoot for say a business or for like profile pictures for like artists or whatever, but it's more of like that one day. So there must be a lot of stress on your end, not just because you want to develop and you want to like deliver like a really good product, but also like stress having to deal back and forth with people all the time.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of adapted to it. I'm not going to say it's not stressful, but I think I've just gotten used to it over the years. I mean, there's always that fear of like, wow, I could just, all of my hard drives could explode and my cloud could explode or like a card. Like, literally, I would like back my weddings up at the weddings. I didn't always do this, but I just like, wow, what if I was like walking from the reception to my car and like got like mugged or something and they took the cards away before they could get backed up. I mean, there's always that you know, in the back of your head, but I don't know.
Have you ever had like a big disaster, I guess, for lack of a better term?
I've had one disaster, and disaster, it was very early on, like my very first year ever shooting weddings, and I recovered the disaster, and then you never make the mistake again. Just put it that way.
So was that just a failure with like backing up stuff and card failure and all that stuff?
Yeah.
So that, I mean,
this is before the cloud though. This is before the cloud when you could just like put things on, you know, right away. And so thank
you. You must have like a ridiculous cloud package. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. I'm like first tier on Dropbox. That's pretty much what I got right now. And I'm maxed out of everything else. So, but I do have like, I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 5 terabyte drives right here.
Oh, you have more than me. This is all I have right here. I'm doing okay.
That's it?
Well, the rest are in storage.
Interesting. Yeah. No, I was looking at like a bulk one of the bigger like G drives with removable hard drives and stuff, but it's expensive and I wasn't there yet. So it was kind of like filming, like doing this. I can feel the stress because doing this whole like documentary we released, I was doing it on like an off the shelf MacBook Pro from Best Buy in Sydney. So it was like the cheapest, shittiest MacBook Pro. And I had like two drives. And we have them backed up on two other drives in Halifax. But at my computer, I would have to save it. Every time I did anything, I would have to save.
Ugh.
Because it crashed like the final week. It would probably crash 6 or 7 times a day or freeze.
Oh my gosh.
And I'd have to manually restart. So I had this crazy, it took so long to do anything that I was like a stress ball the whole week, freaking out. I was like, what happens if... You know, what happens if this project gets corrupted? So I'd like duplicate the projects every couple hours and save backups to backups to backups and like duplicate like the sequence, the like sequence I was working on. I'd back that up with a timestamp and back that up with a timestamp and save a copy of it. And like,
that gives me anxiety.
it was very, very anxiety ridden that 1 week. Yeah. And then to get it up and released, it was kind of like, oh, maybe you deal with this as well. When you're like put so much time and energy into a project that's been your entire world for like whatever, say a week or like a month or whatever, and then it finally gets released, and then there's no like no celebration, there's no like fireworks. It's just kind of like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's kind of like it just goes out and that's it.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh wow, I just dedicated like 3 months of my life to this, and that's it.
Yeah, I can relate.
It's so surreal. It's so weird. Oh, man, it's crazy. But yeah. So, man, I really wish that this audio. See, this is kind of like now that if you notice, like in this, we're chatting and now we're kind of like going back and forth. This is kind of like how I like. This is what happens in person when you're like get to sit down and chat in person, and you're like kind of going back and forth. And it's just a conversation. And that's why I like doing everything over this, like FaceTime and online. Yeah. It's just such a horrible, horrible thing. But
I like literally use FaceTime for everything. I don't even call people anymore. like before any of this happened, I just always use FaceTime. Even when I'm like calling clients, I'm like, I don't want to talk on the phone. I want to see your face.
Yeah. But, yeah, and then you have to deal with all this audio stuff. Like, I'm literally, I wish I could show you this desktop. There's like cables and wires everywhere. And it's crazy. But how do you so when you're working at home, right? And you've got like, especially now, but I assume you always worked at home, correct?
Yeah.
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 How did you manage that with doing your weddings with two little kids in a house?
It's a great question. So I actually have an office. I've had an office for the last two, three years. I don't even know. But it's funny because we got this office. I share it with another photographer, Sherry Poirier. and Jordan McNeil. She's a videographer here in Kansas.
Oh, I know Jordan.
Yeah. So we share an office, and a wedding planner, Jenna Sampson. So we all share this like kind of co-office space, but sometimes it's like you don't even want to go to the office. Like, it's that constant struggle of like you want to work from home, but you don't want to work from home. It's like a love-hate thing. So I have this office that, like, when, you know, life is normal, my kids, my oldest is in school and my younger one's in daycare. So I just would go to the office or I'd work from home. But when they're younger, before those, I mean, I've had lots of years where they weren't in daycare. Like, childcare is like literally the constant struggle of our lives. Like, because as a wedding photographer, like, I don't need to have my child in daycare full time in the winter when I'm doing minimal work. So
yeah,
it's like, do we want to pay to send my kid to daycare full time when I'm at home, like hanging out and not working? So we would always do this like half and half, but then like lose our daycare spot. And then I'd be scrambling before the summer to get childcare. And we've just done everything. Like, we kind of take it like month by month. But actually, it's one of the reasons that I kind of wanted out of wedding photography. Like, I don't love the two extreme lifestyles. I feel really depressed when I'm not creating and doing stuff.
Yeah.
And so from like December, I mean, December is glorious because you're coming off a wedding season and you're like, this is awesome. I just don't have to do anything for a month. But then you get to mid-January and you're like, okay, I need something to do. And then you don't have anything to do until like May, basically. And then it's just like you're all in or all out all the time. And I guess what I want is to just have a little bit more balance. I know that's such a weird word, because I know it doesn't fully exist, but I do believe that you can find it. But my, like, being a wedding photographer, there's no balance at all. So I'm hoping in these new endeavors that there will be a little bit more balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even being home with kids, it's like, I love being at home with my kids, but I don't want to be a stay-at-home mom. But I also don't want to like work 50 hours a week and not see my kids either. Yeah. So it's, I'm off road. I'm getting there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very hard. I don't know. I think people, that's kind of like the thought. I mean, obviously I don't have kids, but that's kind of the thought process was like, yeah, I don't want to, I've worked, I enjoy working. I enjoy working and doing what I'm doing. But when it came to my past career and past life, when I worked offshore, that was like, it was literally like, if you say no, you won't get the next job. So I ended up working for like pretty much a whole year straight. Like, there was, like, it was just work. But then again, I was coming back and just, yeah, I don't want to come home and have like a week home. So you want to hang out with friends and it'd be like out drinking and partying. And then you'd be back away for another 2 months or 3 months or whatever.
Yeah.
So it was like a change of lifestyle that I wanted something different. And I was willing to work harder for something that I wanted to do.
Yep.
Even though, but I mean, I work, I'm at my house, I'm on my property. So I'm like working at my house, at home. I can like watch like my TV shows until like noon if I want to. I'm like, what, do stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah. So it's all in basically what you just figure out what is important to you and what you want as a lifestyle, and then kind of work towards that and not be afraid of it like that. But I think that's like a lot of people just think it's like, you know, I wish I could do that. I'm not in a position financially. I'm not in this, but it takes like the commitment to actually go for it and do it. And then once you get over that hump, you realize that there wasn't that, you know, wasn't that big of an issue.
Yeah.
Wasn't that big of a deal. So, and then you're living a lifestyle that you want to live.
Yeah.
And then you're having fun and working from home and hanging out with your kids.
Yeah.
Or hanging out here and doing whatever you want to do. I get to go like hang out outside and show people like stuff that I did as kids, and they pay me for it. So it's awesome.
Yeah, that's super cool. It's really cool.
But cool. Well, I got to bounce on this. We'll wrap this up, but I think I'm really like unsatisfied with the fact that this audio went to shit today. And that, like, because I was like just starting to get like momentum, and then all of a sudden it started like crapping out on me. So I think we should do this again when everything opens up. And we can, like, I can, like I said, the first proposal was like, I was just going to go to Sydney and like spend like a day and do like two or three. There was two or three people I wanted to do. So I was just going to go around with a mobile setup and just hang out. But even if this summer, if like you guys are like looking to get out of town, come down and we'll hang out. We'll put you guys in the river tubing and
that would be awesome.
Do a podcast and hang out. But yeah, so before we sign off, just give kind of a little overview or let people know how they can get a hold of you and follow you. And then that's pretty much it.
You can follow me at Brittany McLeod. And my website is BrittanyMcLeod.com. Pretty easy. That's it. It's my name.
Okay. Well, yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks for bearing with me today and getting through this, and hopefully I can salvage something out of it.
Yeah, me. I hope so.
Yeah.
All right. I'm willing to go at it again if we need to.
Hope you guys enjoyed that podcast. Again, apologies for the horrible audio quality. We tried to do the best we could mixing it, but that's the way she goes. Again, this would be the last podcast for the next month or so while I get some stuff ready on site. Construction projects, get Live Life Intense rocking and rolling, ready for the summer. If any of you listening are wanting to get out and do some adventures, you can head to our website, check out everything that we offer, from tubing to hiking, guided hiking trips to camping, glamping. We partnered up with Cape Breton West Paddleboards. Now we offer their tours and rentals on our website as well. The same deal with A Great Day Fishing's half day guided fly fishing tours. And if you guys book accommodations with us as a campsite or glamping, you can save by grouping that along with an activity. And the more you book, the more you save type deal. So it's really just a one-stop shop for anything Cape Breton adventure. Again, if you haven't watched our documentary, head to cabotrail.com. That'll take you to our website and you'll find the links to stream or buy the film. And if you want to save a little bit more money on your summer adventure, buy the film, email us, we'll send you a coupon booklet, and you can save on tons of activities while doing the Cabot Trail. Anyways, livelifeintense.com, living life intently. If you like it, give us a rating, and I will see you when we get back to this platform in 4 to 5 to 6 weeks. Summer's in there. Anyways, have a great spring. We'll see you this summer.